right, good morning. It is Friday, the 15th of August. We are live next week. Our Friday show becomes a three-hour-long show, which you can join the fun in on, and you can spread it across the whole week if you'd like. You know, get in there and make treat yourself to half an hour a day if you don't like the fact that we're not doing 5 days a week anymore. It's very exciting. Lots of changes happening. All right. Let's just take a look. You might have seen the clip of that woman from Australia.
Yeah,
that we played at the end of the last hour. Some comments here. Bitcoin Butt says that lady's very disrespectful. That is the future doctors that she's yelling at. And then Jody Smith says, "Wow, now Lady Pandor looks worse than usual in that clip about Palestine." As Ben said, done a bit of an about turn. "Don't mess with that, auntie," says Tracy Bart. You know what we're looking for in the world? And I haven't been serious at all this morning. I don't want to start now. But there are two qualities that I think are the most in demand right now in the commercial world. If you're looking for a job, because people are always going, "I want to work in X, Y, or Z. I want to be rich. I want to make money. I want to be successful." Who doesn't? I've never met anyone who goes, "No, you know what? I'd like to be unsuccessful." So what are the two things that I've identified? And you may agree or disagree with me. I'd like to hear from you in the comments. Number one is drive. The drive, the actual ability to get up and make shit happen, yep. Right? Execute on stuff. Drive is very rare quality. A lot of people are good at implementing other people's plan. They go through the motions. They tick the boxes. They get a few things done, but the truly driven person who pulls everyone with them, that drive is a very rare quality and much in demand at the moment in society. And the other one is courage. And that woman in that clip reminds me of both. Mm. She clearly, I mean, sitting there with that cigarette, she obviously got a very, I wouldn't be surprised if she's the chairman of the Bank of Australia.
Should be.
And if she isn't, she should be. You're right.
Well, Gareth, together with those, I think it goes without saying, it's just honesty. It's like people honestly don't care about these things.
She has that too.
The politicians have to subscribe to these things.
Yes.
But the average person out there who is just trying to live their life and provide, they don't give a shit about other countries.
Mm-mm.
Why should they actually, to be honest with you?
No. I have not thought about Sudan once in the last 6 months. Not once.
It feels like a luxury of time. Who's got time for that?
Well, that you use the word luxury. It's interesting. Luxury beliefs. I got into a huge thing on Instagram yesterday. Well, it wasn't really a huge thing because there was no one else involved. I created this crisis in my head and decided to, where I would have, before I would have written a blog, for you know, sort of 8-page blog, I just decided to post some stuff on Instagram about what's happening in Europe at the moment because it's a disaster. Again, it's the politicians. It's not the people of these countries that have led to this disaster. It's the politicians. So the Brits are particularly pissed off this week because the Conservative Party released a list of the benefits that illegal immigrants, refugees, asylum seekers, call them what you will, they're getting this list of things. It includes piano lessons, free food delivered to their houses, free transport to their appointments. I mean, you'd think that it was King Charles with diarrhea, the way that they're laying on public service for these people who've literally crossed the channel in rubber dinghies. They get everything for free. They get free sports training for their kids. They get French lessons. These are things that, I mean, the average British person born in the country in 1900 would have been lucky to get a handful of gravel from the government. And now they're handing out all this stuff to every illegal immigrant. The people of Britain are furious. They've had enough. They're like, this is it. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's not going to be good.
I don't understand where it comes from.
It comes from politicians.
Yeah, I know, but like, who is telling these politicians to do these things?
Okay, so this is what I wrote about, and I don't want to paraphrase it, so I'm actually going to read it from my post because
it doesn't ever seem in these
countries. I thought about it, so I wrote this down.
In the country's interest to do these things, but yet these politicians are being very strident about it.
Let me hear your comments on this, Ben. So here we are. I'll start with this one. Multiculturalism has made Europe demonstrably worse in every way and in every metric. Multiculturalism is a miserable failure. Time to end this farce and to stop pretending. Because that's really what it is.
Yeah,
pretending. By the way, I just got to say, Ketsy, best producer, really put James in the shade this week. You can bring it and say hello while you're there.
It's, look, I don't know. He's I don't in a hoodie, so
you won't be able to tell who it is. But
I didn't want to be the person saying it.
Great cup of coffee that he made in our special barista machine. I mean,
he offered me as well.
Has this ever happened while James has been on the show? No.
I've never once been offered coffee.
No.
As a guest?
No, neither have I. As the host, for fuck's sake. As the boss. I get nothing here. Flex, this is unprecedented, right? Okay. So multiculturalism. We were talking about something serious, but I'm just going to get this off my chest. So here you asked, why is this happening? Why did this happen? Who caused this to take place? So I surmise from reading a lot of history books and paying attention to politics since about the age of 12, the unearned moral superiority of Western liberals has given them the impression that infantilizing the rest of the world and showing maternal compassion to immigrants would earn them gratitude and respect. It hasn't. It has undermined the national identity and resulted in stupid luxury beliefs that no longer correlate with reality. That's what I think.
Yeah, well said.
The sad thing is that major European cities, once the idyll of civilization and sophistication on our grimy, graffiti-scrawled crime hotspots where knife-wielding children and homeless drug addicts compete for dominance. This is not untrue. I happen to have received, posting this from a lot of friends who are traveling Europe at the moment. Paris looks revolting. London is just disgusting. People have scrawled graffiti everywhere. Grimy, dirty, filthy, not particularly respectable. And that saddens me because these places are places I love to visit and that the rest of the world does too. They're France has, I think, more tourism than any other country in the world. And we'll talk about flying business class in a moment because Ben has discovered something quite interesting there. But who wants to go and see a place that has been strewn with the feces of homeless people and hypodermic needles and graffiti of Free Palestine on statues and monuments?
So going back to what you were saying about that woman, who she's got drive and courage and honesty.
She would run Australia like a well-oiled ship.
If we're really honest, who wants to go to Paris, but Paris with multiculturalism trumping Frenchness? Who wants to go to Italy?
No, no one.
Where you can't buy pasta anymore,
no,
but you can get kebabs. Well, I know this is a very controversial stance because people always say, you've got to give people chances. Everyone needs a chance to live the life they want to do. Everyone's got rights. Cool. In your own country, let's base that. Let's make it strong. Let's make everything great again. Countries, right?
Right.
Countries are great things.
Well,
multiculturalism is great when you come together in natural situations.
Well, let's just take this country because it brings it closer to home and people might be able to understand.
Before you get – this is why I struggle with this, because this country's got great multiculturalism because it's also made in a very weird sense. Those countries are all very established and old. Things have happened there over long periods of time.
My problem is, okay, if you go – a place has to have character.
Yes.
It has to have an identity.
Yes.
Okay, now South Africa does have, as a part of our fabric, a kind of a multiculturalism that I agree with you works.
That's our identity.
But if you look, for example, at the shopping malls or strip malls in South Africa and the Chinese shops that are in there, they have no culture or soul or anything. And I mean, this is not a dig at China. But those shops are just filled with shit, and they have it's neon lights, feels like a hospital. Everything is just cheap and nasty.
Well, remember with that Rivonia Mall where the old studios were? It used to be a nice mall, and then it became...
It used to be a nice... It had places with character in it where like...
Local barbers and cool
old
shops.
Old white men and black men used to sit and drink together.
Yeah.
At dirty sleeper railway... It had character.
It felt like Joburg.
Right. And, there were people who made stuff and there were curio places. And now it's all just shit that's come off a shipping container from Beijing. It's revolting. And that has no character. And that is the multiculturalism that some people crow about. That's not multiculturalism. I think that you can get it right, but you have to have honest politicians. You have to have a national identity. You have to be able to discern what is worth keeping and what is worth throwing away.
And that's Britain, what natural
Britain,
order does.
Britain and Europe are throwing away the only things that make them interesting and replacing it with stuff you can get in any shitty, rundown city anywhere in the world. That's what saddens me. Gareth, you know history. When and where in history has multiculturalism really worked? It hasn't really, because people like to be around what is familiar to them. The whole point of culture, and you know, in South Africa, we do have many cultures. I would say we are many cultured rather than multicultured, because you don't have people trying to absorb a bit of Zulu culture into Afrikaans culture or vice versa. But the cultures respect each other.
Yeah,
so we have a whole bunch of them. And I went to the Voortrekker Monument on Sunday. My mother made a speech there about Eugene Maree, the famous Afrikaans writer. It was great to see that they're maintaining that, that they're looking after it, that there's a pride in their history. I know in KwaZulu-Natal, there are many places where people speak the most pure form of isiZulu. They practice cultural rituals that have been practiced for some 200 years or more. There's great pride in that, and I think it's terrific. So you know when you go there, that's what you're getting, a taste of the real. We have a Durban Indian community who are – there's a culture that's entirely unique anywhere in the world that has developed there. These are all good things. These are things that make our country interesting. Nowhere in the world has multiculturalism. In other words, throwing everything into the pot ever worked. All it produces is this run-down, watered-down hybrid that doesn't really have any value. So you ask the question, there isn't an answer.
I think that's so well put. Many cultures have a multicultural.
Yeah.
Because multicultural is like, guys, we're all the same. No, we are fucking not, and that's what makes
people
us great.
People don't want it. People want their people.
Yeah. Be your people.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of having a history, tradition, culture, music, art, all the things that we regard as being important. Like if you didn't have any work to do, what would you spend your time doing? Probably a lot of those would be cultural pursuits, right? And those cultural pursuits have to have value for you. If the government tells you they're not valuable and we've just got to be Europe, what does Europe mean? I mean, the Germans have hated the French for 1,000 years. Now you want me to believe they're the same? They're not the same.
Bollocks.
The French hate everyone. The French hate everybody. They really do. They have no time for anyone. Have you ever had a conversation with a Frenchman who did not look at you with an air of superiority? They hate you, especially if you speak English.
Exactly. Ugh.
You order something from a French waiter that, you disgust me.
I'm going through the Wilbur Smith era now where the French are fighting the British in all over the place. And the hatred and where it comes from.
The English and the French, they called it the Hundred Years' War, but it was even longer than 100 years. They thought, well, we'll round it off. They hated each other solidly on the battlefield for 100 years. Just murderous with medieval weapons. Don't tell me that now,
we're all part of Europe.
It's not true. Okay.
There's just something so beautiful about culture.
Yes, and it's exciting.
If we can focus on that and everyone be their culture, natural order would suggest who mixes best and who does things with other things.
You know, we have in South Africa, we have a Cape Coloured community that are entirely indigenous. They didn't originate from anywhere else. You can say there's influences of Malay, there's influences of white settlers. Yeah. You could say there's influence of the Khoisan and of black people in the province and all these things. But essentially, like the Cape Coloureds are totally indigenous. They were invented here in South Africa. That whole culture and everything that goes with it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's plenty of that in every culture, right? Every culture has things that we're proud of, things that we're not so proud of. But that is, to me, an example of something we've got to hold on to.
Absolutely.
It's special, man.
Absolutely.
And from the stuff that pisses Gayton off in his tirade against these podcasters, I still haven't heard it, by the way, but I saw Warris talking about it the other day, and I thought he made a very good point. It's really fun to do this stuff. It is not a source for us to disparage each other. Not by trying to make everybody the same and equal. all you're going to do is piss everyone off. People, they like a little bit of identity. Don't take that away from them.
It's also a bit insulting to think that your culture must be like that culture. Or let's help you be more like us. That's all bullshit.
It's patronizing, right?
It's so patronizing. Yeah. No, everyone must be who they are and be fucking proud of it.
Speaking of patronizing, I do want to get to this. So we haven't finished with Sydney Sweeney. And I would rather talk about her than politics. So I do want to bring this to your attention. I've seen, and again, you can never say correlation is causation, but I have seen a pattern developing. So pop up the picture of Sydney Sweeney that I sent you, Flex. This is an interesting talking point that we can, and then I'll show you a comment.
So just first up, Gareth, in my culture, Sydney Sweeney's hot.
Yeah, well, I think for you would have to be blind and possibly have been tortured and abused as a child to have any idea other than this.
I wouldn't say she's classically beautiful, but
no, she's hot.
She's a hot.
There's a difference between sexy and beautiful.
Attractive woman.
Okay, so it says here, only, there's a New York Post, a newspaper, right? These used to be credible sources of information, and maybe it still is, who knows. Only 12% of people find Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle ad offensive. 12% of people. So someone went onto one of the AI search engine type things, found this comment. 12%, don't forget that number, right?
Key number here, yeah.
12% of people were upset. So then someone asked, I think this is ChatGPT, about the US percentage of obese women who primarily speak English. And they found it is exactly 12.5% of the total US population. Now, again, correlation is not causation, but don't tell me there isn't some relationship between the 12% of people who found Sydney Sweeney offensive and the 12.5% of American women who are obese.
Yeah. Well, look, I can't fight those numbers. I have nothing else to say.
No. Or the battle mastodons that make up the 12%.
I mean, I saw some posts, and like there are these fat women pulling zap signs at Sydney Sweeney billboards and shit.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, get a life.
They feel superior
firstly,
for that moment.
Get a diet, but then get a life.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Yeah. Really, I think you should pipe down if you're that fat. You should just pipe down. You've got a lot of work to do on yourself before you start worrying about advertising campaigns. Honest to God, the process of happiness and change begins with you. Pipe down, get yourself sorted out, and then we can start hearing, shouting and screaming about what you think is appropriate and what the rest of us should be doing.
These are the same horrible mess
down.
Of people.
And frankly, there are people starving in the world. Don't you feel bad about how much you consume?
Yeah.
It's revolting. Get some self-control. You're really making a great nuisance of yourself. And they're loud. I mean, these people are criticizing Sydney Sweeney. She's this... slightly bimbo-esque, but very attractive girl who's been in a couple of TV shows and movies.
I would say she's just doe-eyed. I wouldn't say she's bimbo-ish.
Doe-eyed, that's a very good, yeah, doe-eyed. So,
which would give the perception, yeah, but she's sure. Not, yeah.
But honestly, the amount of the vitriol that has been brought about by this ad campaign, you would swear that she'd poked a red-hot poker into everybody's eye. There's Greta Thunberg. We saw the Beyonce one the other day. There's lots of these, but there we are. Yeah, that would probably go down very well with those ugly people. It's all ugly people. Honestly, again, but you can tell a lot about someone's motivation just from how they look.
I'd like to keep it a little...
I judge a book by its cover.
I'd like to keep it a bit lighter on a Friday. Ugly
go
people.
On, Ben.
It's not a death sentence. You can still work on yourselves. Sometimes you're not ugly.
I don't know why you're mentioning it on this show. None of our people are revolting. None of our people are.
No, you're right. But I mean, ugly people might get incensed and
I've
come here to get
angry. I've never met an
ugly
person in real life. I've only seen them on social media. I've never met them. I don't interact with them in any way. Never met an ugly person. Seen them on like pictures and videos and clips. In fact, that's why I send them to you. I'm so horrified. I go, look at this. There are people who look like that. That's unbelievable. Now I send it to you or I put it on the show. I don't encounter these people in real life. I manage to give them a wide berth for some reason. And sometimes you have to because their circumference is so great. Gareth, have you ever considered becoming a fluffer in the film industry? It's a job that has a lot of drive, brings happiness to many. I suppose this has to do with my comment about success and drive.
Certainly takes courage.
It does take courage. But I thought about that. Is it Bunny Blue? Or
yes.
Bunny Blue. And I thought, that has got to be just the most demoralizing thing. You know, even if it was, let's say there's a guy and I'm the fluffer for all the girls, getting them ready. I could not do it. It would be demoralizing. I mean, just I think porn is, I think it's kind of sad. I think it's sad once the cameras switch off, the lights switch off, you're in a big warehouse, everybody feels dirty. I just think it's a bad vibe. I wouldn't want to be a fluffer. I wouldn't want to be involved in that industry at all. Focus on your own country, says Hugh G. Rection. Put it first, just like Donald. Don't forget, they live in 4-star hotels. That's the immigrants. No, Ben, it is not in the country's interests. It's what people decide in conference talk shops like the WEF.
Yes.
Here's limited edition saying, I'm black. And once I was a waiter and was ill-treated by a fellow black patron. He ate the food. When he had to pay for the bill, he said he didn't order the food. We're a sad generation with happy faces. Yeah, but he was just a dick. It didn't matter that he was black or white. If someone doesn't pay for something, they're a dick.
Yeah, which exists across all cultures.
Fluffers are out of work since Viagra, says Mo Rabbit. This is why we need to visit. Carl wants to visit the show. I need an ugly person with more confidence than my aesthetic follows or allows. You're welcome. Carl, I think we must get you on. Come and join us one morning. If you're as ugly as you claim to be, we may learn a lot. This could be a breakthrough moment for us.
You got to bring stuff, though, Carl. You got to bring things of value.
Ugliness is a big...
You know, like the wise men arrive with frankincense, gold, and myrrh. What do poorers arrive with? Pregos and...
Chorizo. Cape colored is like the Canis Africanus. It's the natural product of DNA blend, unfiltered and unengineered, says Chris. Sounds a little eugenic. I mean, I'm not criticizing you with like an American Eagle ad here, but you know, you're saying like a dog. Unnecessary. A bad metaphor. And we've had some good metaphors on this morning's show, so the standard is high. Yonder says, I started off that Sydney Sweeney ad and it was worth it. You know, I don't know what you started, but I'm let other people connect those dots. Gareth, I dare you to run a poll in the chats about the feeling we have about one show a week. All right, we'll have you put up a poll. It could be 99.9% of the people are opposed to it. It's a change of thing, but let's go. Flex, put on a poll. Let them think. Have the illusion of democracy. This is how you think it's going to work. All right, so we're going to have a poll now. If the poll results are that 100% I must do 5 shows a week, then I'll do it. Let's see how that goes, all right? Go and vote. Can you make a poll? All right, lovely. Thanks, guys. They really are good, hey? James would have taken another 10 minutes, well, I'm telling you.
Finding him.
He did send me a picture of that famous traffic light. In Jeffreys Bay, you know they have the one traffic light. They're very proud of it. It's the only one in the whole town.
Wow.
And he sent it to me like you would send a picture of...
Is that where he proposed?
The Champs-Élysées.
I guess that's where you're in Paris. In Jeffreys if you go propose.
I think you'd propose at the traffic light. Yeah. It's such a tourist attraction. You know what, Ben? That's fucking racist what you said. This is Carl about poras. But I'll bring pastéis de nata. And
well, there we go, Carl.
Okay,
that was me embracing your culture. I wasn't being racist. I didn't say poorers can't bring anything nice. That would be racist.
Yeah, that would be. That would actually.
I just
be
said you got to bring something
much
of value.
Worse. I'll bring pastéis de nata, and he says, and soap.
See,
but you didn't invent soap.
Speaking of soap, and Sydney Sweeney, you know,
yes, go.
And these fucktards who go on about this American Eagle. When you create a great campaign, you want people to talk about it and create other hype for you. So sure. They do all your work for you, right?
Yes,
you
correct.
Create this, user-generated content creates this, and you get this massive, it's a win. So this company created Sydney Sweeney bathwater soap.
Oh, that's very, very funny.
And I think it was limited edition, like 500 bars. You could literally wash yourself with her bathwater. Creepy, but you can see where the appeal comes, right?
Well, the guy with the penguin earlier this morning would be at front of the queue. He'd be
washing with Sydney Sweeney's bathwater. He'd be in the drop in the ocean, literally, compared to the previous story.
Yeah. Look, there is always going to be a bottom of the market, right? Like, there are always going to be people, creepy, weird people, who will shell out inordinate amounts of money for stuff that really no one should be buying. But if you can sell it to them, is it immoral of you to sell your bathwater to creeps, or is it immoral of them to buy
it? It's a really fun. I mean, again, people like Sydney Sweeney make people feel better. We've had this conversation many times because she's hot.
Sure.
Let's all feel happier on hot people and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen
it's
all the
obviously
research.
Obviously not her bathwater.
Sure.
She hasn't sat in the bath stewing for an hour to make soap with glycerine and shit. It's just a fun product. If I just see Sydney Sweeney's bathwater soaps in a shop, I would buy it, and then that's what your Christmas present would be. And then we'd both laugh, and it would be a happy moment, and
okay,
we'd carry on with
true,
our lives.
Yeah. Okay. We're getting some suggestions here. If Ben got transplants for Carl's back hair, he'd have afro by now. That's according... Wow. Okay.
Well, I guess that's just another sort of nuance of the industry, maybe. It's like mining pora hair.
Farming poras, effectively.
So you have a shop front with two entrances. Pora donors. And then bald recipients. Oh, what a shop that would be.
What would you call
whatever
it?
Whatever Portuguese for in and out is.
Give us the Portuguese for in and out. Let's call it that. Oh, that sounds great. All right. Some other stuff that is in the news. We have to pay attention to a little bit of news. So this is quite important, I would think. Vladimir Putin, is reportedly bringing along a poo suitcase to his peace talks with Donald Trump in Alaska. The two of them are meeting. It's just Putin and Trump. They're meeting in Alaska. Tremendous place, Alaska. Meanwhile, Zelensky's going to visit Keir Starmer. Again, like, what's the real show? What's the sideshow? You know, it's just Zelensky should stay the hell away from all these European leaders. They're not helping his situation. They're making it worse. What's Keir Starmer going to promise? That he'll send him a couple of rubber dinghies? Free horse riding lessons, and who knows. Anyway, Vladimir Putin is bringing a poo suitcase, is what they tell us. According to Lad Bible, I mean, reputable news source, one of Putin's elite bodyguards will literally be lugging around his stool and urine in a bulletproof case just in case some spy tries a chemical analysis. Talk about taking health privacy to the next level, they say. Even Stalin apparently did something similar decades ago. Keep your toilet drama, and Putin's coming with it. So,
sorry, for a more average brain, connect the dots to me.
Okay,
why would he need his DNA in?
So no. So what they do is they take a suitcase, and then when Putin takes a shit in the Alaskan toilet, instead of him taking in the toilet, he'll take it in a pan. And they will take the shit back with him.
And then keep
they don't want someone to get any handle on his DNA or figure out anything about his biology just from him leaving a stool in the Alaskan loo.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, Donald Trump, the one thing we know about him, crafty man. I want the CIA to check out that turd. Got to find out everything we can about the turd. That's what the Russians genuinely think is going to happen. And, of course, the urine as well. So they'll take back a little bottle with the urine. This is all very normal for paranoid leaders like Vladimir Putin. So I don't know how it actually works. There must be some humiliation involved with him taking a shit in a pan, right?
I think it's another ego trip, huh?
I mean, I wouldn't want...
Imagine thinking you're so important that you can't actually put your waste into... The ether, so to speak.
You're too important.
Too important for your turds to be with other turds.
Okay. So we give you a lot of shit about the size of your head.
Yeah, fair.
But there's a 34-year-old Essex mum. You know, these British women who are constantly going for surgeries. Bless you. Her name is Chloe Walker. She spent £5,000 on forehead reduction surgery. So she obviously had a long forehead. Maybe her hair started here. Yeah, it's unfortunate for a woman because I think it's harder for them if they have receding hairlines or very big foreheads.
Huge.
They call it a five head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's lived, this poor woman, my heart goes out to her. She lived with anxiety about her forehead since her childhood. She's tried to grow the long fringe. You know, the kind of yep. feminist fringe, the one yep. that's square here.
Yeah.
She's tried that. She's tried the hairspray, big in the 80s, a lot of poofiness, doesn't help. She's even edited family photos. She still hasn't, by the way, ever posted her wedding pics because she's too embarrassed about the five head. But she's finally, she says she feels instantly happier and she can play in the pool with her kids. She can brush her hair back without stressing.
This is what I was saying. Ugly isn't a death sentence.
Right. You can do just go everything. Spend some money. I've never heard of a forehead reduction surgery. Have we got a picture of her? I'd love to see what she looks like. Is this now post or pre-surgery?
I think it'll be very easy to tell.
All right, so let's have a look. But you're right, Ben. I mean, you can do things, you know? You can have things fixed.
Yeah.
You can make yourself better. Or you can make yourself worse. Some people do go out of their way to make themselves worse with the nose ring and the tattoo also, on the face.
But also, that's just poor parenting, right? But that's not a death sentence. Just move away from them. Disown them. If they're a terrible impact on you,
yeah.
get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. And you do have to move on. I have no time. I decided this the other day. No time in my life for people over the age of 35 who still moan about the way they were raised.
You shouldn't.
Like by 30, I'd say by 30 even, you should really have started to solve those problems. You should have moved on no matter how horrible that uncle was, no matter what happened to you in your childhood. By 30, you should be making moves to correct this and get away from it and change your circumstance. If you're still moaning about like your mom didn't come to your play recital, your dad didn't play cricket with you, and you're in your 40s, then I really don't have any sympathy for you. I don't.
Yeah, look, it sucks.
It's terrible.
It sucks and your parents are shit.
Sure.
I'd imagine that would be scarring. But also, you got to ask yourself, what was I doing in my 20s? And when the answer is fucking around, then you got to think, okay, well, how good of a parent would I have been? Like, imagine us.
Hey, at least they had you. They didn't have to have you.
Imagine us raising kids in our 20s. What absolute disasters we would have been.
Drug addicts.
It would have been
probably
horrendous.
Obese.
Horrendous.
terrible. All right, so have you got a picture of her? Guys, I got to see this woman. I'm very, very excited. Chloe Walker. This will be as exciting for the audience as it is for me because I haven't seen her yet. And Ben reckons we'll be able to tell whether it's a pre or post-op picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be very, very, very obvious.
We had we played a game. I was away with some friends a couple of weeks ago now. It's probably months ago. And we played a game of like you've got 5 seconds to name three things like that start with the letter C or three sports or whatever, right? And the one thing that came up was three kinds of surgery, and the one guy answered toe surgery. People go for cosmetic toe surgery. We all said bullshit, and then we had to look it up, you know, as part of the rigor of the game because it was a very serious game. There were points involved.
Well, yeah.
People would go for toe surgery. I've never heard of that.
Well, if you've got horrendous toes, what if you've got bad bunions?
But surely you just struggle on, really. Oh, among the list of things that are off-putting.
What do you do in summer? You always shoes a whole year.
Maybe you have a sarong. You deftly drape a sarong over your appendages.
Fix it.
I don't know, hey. I mean, sometimes you just got to, that's your deformity. Everybody has something about themselves they don't like and that you, it's worth changing in some cases and others, let's be fair, Ben, it's not. Sometimes you're stressing about shit you don't need to worry about. Toes, really?
Okay. Would you ever date a girl with hammer toes?
I'm not even sure what a hammer toe is.
Ballerinas, gymnasts, heavily robust looking feet.
So she's very attractive, but she's got revolting toes.
She's got feet that look like they work in construction. See, the answer's no.
No, I don't think I would be.
Because you've hesitated,
hold
the answer is no.
Hold on. I'm going to answer this earnestly.
Want to go to the beach? Call with you. See.
pop on the sneakers.
Not on the beach. She wants to wear a nice evening gown. No strappy heels coming out on this one.
So you would, in that case, suggest the toe operation?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everything else is... Imagine everything else is wonderful.
I wouldn't suggest it. It would be her choice and journey.
It's taken me a lot of dates to ever really get to the toe, whether or not I do an evaluation of the toes. I'm just saying, I think on the list of things that would put me off, the toes are not in the top 10. Really? This is the first time I thought about it. So there we go. What about a good foot binding and get on with it, like the Japanese, says Slippery Pickle. Oh, okay. This is after surgery. That's a hell of a forehead, hey? Even after surgery. That's Chloe, the British woman from Essex. Hey, opa, Chloe.
Yeah. That looks painful. That's all I'm going to say, that looks quite painful.
It's quite staple-y.
As somebody with a fair amount of real estate between my hairline and eyebrows,
you're in a good position to talk about this.
I feel her pain.
She doesn't look very happy. I mean, she said she's instantly happy, but those pictures would belie that.
But she's British, so...
That's true.
Yo, Chloe, that must have been so sore. But good on you. That's all definitely... Right. I mean, obviously those stitches and things will...
Fucking hell, I'd love to have seen her before the op. She must have looked like Queen Nefertiti. Have you seen the bust of Queen Nefertiti?
But success story. No, I haven't.
It goes like this. Get up here. It's quite something. All right. Well, I want to remove my love handles. Again, Carl DeSantos hopping in here. Is that a bit gay? What do you think, Ben?
No, get rid of those. Carl, just walk a lot for a start.
Really? You don't need surgery.
No, I mean, look, I don't know how fat you are. I also don't know how disciplined you are, so you might actually need surgery. But
how fat?
Just start by doing a lot of walking. A lot of walking. I don't know what your diet is either, but the best way to do it is like that steady state, low cardio bullshit. Don't think you're going to go run the comrades. That'll just kill your knees.
Matthew Dixon says, I would be in fear of meeting Garrett's kid he had 30 years ago if he had a kid in his 20s.
Well, he's in Pumalanga. He's got to go find him.
You can go and look. Go and try and find him. Or her. Who knows, Ben? I try to stay away from these things. I don't want sleepless nights. It's in the past.
Exactly.
Got to move on. Mapelo says, my neighbor's baby was born with a narrow head.
Narrow head?
What, like a forceps birth? They squeezed the head when it was coming out?
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, what is a narrow head? They took him for head reduction, but his head was already narrow.
Yeah,
where are they going to put all this stuff?
But if it's narrow, it's probably tall, so they need to scrunch it down a bit.
Oh, so he looks like those...
double-decker bus.
No, but like those Conehead... there was that Coneheads movie, wasn't there?
Yes,
looks like
Dan Aykroyd.
Jesus. So they took him for head reduction surgery. They cut a few millimeters of his skull and his head got back to normal. Well, that's what a happy story. You know, I do like a silver lining. On a Friday especially.
He's proving the point. It's all fixable.
This is good.
We can fix everything in life.
Pumlani says, praise the new producer too soon. Take 7 business working days to load a 5-head pick. Did the size of the head finish the memory space in his computer? Actually, yes, fair enough. Bit of criticism there from Pumlani for you guys. Sorry, guys.
Tough school.
How are the only feet in the office going, says Bitcoin Boot.
I think it slowed down.
It has slowed down.
Because none of you guys went onto OnlyFeet and paid for the pictures.
That's right. That's true.
So you are to...
Yeah, you foot fetish perverts.
You are to blame.
All right, then. Chloe can remember what happened tomorrow, according to Matthew Dixon, with that 5-head. What a waste of money. Her forehead is the least of her problems. Rough. She should have a fringe cut. You would not see the long... Sharon, you've got to pay attention. We did mention that she tried the fringe, okay? I don't know. You know, I wake up and I slave around this hot fucking desk every Friday now from next week. It's going to kill me 3 whole hours once a week. It's going to tire me out.
Say what's going to do. It's going to kill...
And then you don't listen.
The 3 hours a week, 3 hours a day is going to kill James because James has to work hard.
Oh, my God.
Because the show needs to be more produced now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm worried about that. It's good that you raise it, Ben. We've got a meeting next week. I think I'll bring it up.
I see things like Minority Report as they happen.
Carl says, Gareth, think of Mapello's neighbor's kid's head as a picture that you try to move in Microsoft Word. Congo Chris says, if you don't give us the link, how must we find the feet pics?
It was given in the episode.
It was. We actually did. Yeah. You know what? Just meet me halfway. Really, I have to spoon feed you guys like retarded children. This is becoming, it's becoming odious. Please, let's meet me halfway, you know? Buy the lotto ticket. Sorry, says Sharon. Too late, Sharon. I cannot be perpetually forgiving. I'm not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. At some point, my compassion runs out. But, all right, a lot of people asking for more Auntie Ruda. Well, you know what I do think we're going to have?
On the show.
we're going to have a lot of reasons to have a lot more fun and laughter and stupidity. Because I've missed that. I thought the show maybe got a little bit too serious at some point. And I thought, well, this is not the thing I want to do. I want to have fun here. And today's a good example. We've gone from, you know, the crazy to even crazier. Chris says it's called a three-seps birth. With a squeezed head as opposed to a forceps birth. Very clever, playing on the five head, forehead. Very, very sharp, Chris. You a writer? Have you tried your hand at fiction? Florid descriptions of, I don't know, interesting things and people and places? Who knows? Karen, very excited, says, keep it crazy, I love it. Can we have Ben and Ass together on a Friday? Ass may make appearances on the show fairly regularly. And, you know, she brings her own brand of hilarity, personal stories no one else would ever have the nerve to share, and sometimes dark, quite depressing stuff. There's a good mix with Leanne. Yes. We've got to keep her around. It's good. It's good. Gord, please, says someone in the comments. Zelna. Yes, but you know, really, the big problem there is that Gordon, I think he wakes up at noon.
Well, he wakes up in Cape Town. That's the big problem.
At noon.
I don't know about the noon part, but he's geographically not here.
I'm fairly sure. I think if you check any message he's ever sent to you, it's afternoon. It's usually afternoon. That's when that stuff comes through. All right, Flex, we've got something else here. Ben was saying you can always do something about being ugly, but you can also try your talents. I know I've put the kosh on many people's ambitions for singing because Idols really ruined that for me. But here is a guy giving it his all. Have you got that clip to show people? This is the kind of thing that this inspires me to want to ask people to sing, you know, let it all out. Here it is again. That's great. All right. Very, very good. And then one or two other things, because we do have to wrap it up in a moment. But this is quite interesting. Ben and I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we would talk about Bogan business class. So I'm sure you've had the experience in your life where you have an economy class ticket. Most of us fly economy. You're on an overseas trip, maybe. Maybe it's 2 hours to Cape Town. It can be as arduous. Who knows? And you think, because you've got the open seats next to you. Let's say you're in the middle and there are two seats on either side, or you're on the side and the other two are open. Whatever. Whatever configuration blows your mind. But effectively, they're about to close the doors and you realize you've got the row to yourself. That is that's winning the lottery, right? It's the best feeling.
It's winning the economy lottery.
It is. It is the economy. It's not quite as good as business class, but it'll do. You feel like you look at the other people, you look down on them, the other people around you, squeezed into, you know, the three at the end.
Yeah, and sitting upright and clenched.
And we've spoken about this on the window seat, the travel feature that we do with travel.co.za. And there are ways that if you're sneaky about it, you can. Sometimes you book the middle of the middle And then other people who come in and book after you will try to avoid that because they think, who's that fucking psychopath who booked the middle of the middle? Yeah. There's clearly someone, it's a mass murderer. There's something wrong with this person. And then you may just frighten them away enough to have the whole row to yourself. Fantastic. But then it's amazing how badly people will behave once they've got that territory. You know, the person in the castle, they start thinking they're a lord.
Well, long haul flights can get quite traumatic, so people can get territorial on it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going from Bogenland anywhere to civilization, you're looking at 16-hour flights, whatever.
Oh, sure. No, definitely. Any advantage you can score on that, whether it's this much legroom, you think you've just scored.
Yeah.
Massively.
If you're coming out of Sydney, going to like the rest of the world.
Well, anywhere except Auckland is just...
See, I mean, Auckland
tremendously
goes
far.
Auckland goes to Sydney generally, and then
no one goes from Sydney to Auckland. Yeah,
rest of the world,
right? It would be like going back up the toilet. Why would you do that?
Air New Zealand is not long hauling to the rest of the world.
Oh, hell no!
Everything they rely on Australia to do the heavy lifting.
Correct. That's exactly right. And you may listen to us from New Zealand, and you may have criticisms for the terrible things that Ben has said about New Zealand today. Been very disparaging about your country that you may be listening to us from. Welcome a fight.
It's a nice place if you like.
If you like.
I'm sure I said things there. Maybe just got cut off in the microphone.
Okay. Bitcoin Boot wants to know who books the guests because James has been doing a cuck job. Where is the machosha? Yeah, he did promise us a machosha, remember? Ketsi, you reckon you could get a machosha? There Ketsi, we go. See, that's the kind of
spirit. Have you seen Ketsi operate right here? Ketsi will get anybody.
That's the entrepreneurial spirit I'm looking for. All right, machosha time. Let's get a machosha in here. We've been talking about this for ages. Why have the comments disappeared? What are you talking about, Chris? I'm reading your comment now. What are you, blind, mute, ignorant? I've just read your comment. Where have the comments disappeared? Your computer's screwed. That's the problem. You're like those people who, when your internet goes down and everyone else's internet in South Africa is down, you phone the internet service provider and you go, why is my internet down? Why is it just me? I paid my bill. Why am I not getting my service? This is ridiculous. What a way to end the Friday show with you being all negative Nancy. Armin says, someone once tried to steal my business class seat. Wow. The cheek, the nerve of that. Usually I'm quiet and I'll be the idiot who'd let that go, but not this time. Who steals a seat? You paid for it and someone tried to steal your seat? And the temerity. Imagine that. Some stinky economy class person kind of goes through the curtain while no one's looking. Security don't stop them. It's my seat. No, it isn't. Get back into cattle class. How dare you? Good for you, Armin. Keep the peasants. I've always said, peasants, you need to remind them, till the fields, eat the handful of gravel that your lord and master has given you, and just be grateful for the that you have both feet, for example. Because there was a time where if you were a bad peasant, they'd take a foot and you'd have to hobble. And that way people knew you were a bad peasant and no other lord would take you as their peasant. You know? Small thing. Peasants... Yeah, just because they can pull up to a takeaway place now. They really think that they rule the roost going into business class. How dare they? Should have given them a good crack with your walking stick. Watching from Auckland, says Crystal. Here we go, Ben. You ready?
Yeah, but Crystal's from here.
It's just before 6 p.m. and a great way to start my weekend with Ben and Gareth. Have you been listening to the show, Crystal? I don't know if you've been paying attention. We need to interview a car guard. Says Marius. Why do you need me to do that? Why don't you just stop? I'll tell you what. You're going somewhere today. Maybe tomorrow. You got to buy some groceries. You interview a car guard. What do you think? I'm going to pull out some magical golden thread and discover it's Jean-Paul Sartre who's been parking my car or looking after it while I'm in the shop?
Marius, I think you've opened up a little door here. People should go and do interviews for the show. Submit them to James.
That's a good idea. Yeah, yeah, all these people with all these suggestions.
We can't do everything. You guys must go, you live your lives in all different places.
Right.
So interviews.
Who's your car guard?
Yeah.
Nostradamus? Go and ask him some questions. Send us a clip.
Go do interviews, submit them, and the best ones will be on Friday.
Yeah, laziness. Tolerate this anymore. Our community WhatsApp group, says Tracy's become a proper moan group. Aren't they all, though?
They all are.
Yeah, they start. You know, mute them. If you have to be on them, mute them for a year. You know, you have that option. You can mute it for a year. Mm-hmm. Take off notifications. Put it in your archive messages. Put it as far away. Tracy, you're punishing yourself for no good reason here. She says, as soon as the power is out or someone's internet is down, some Karen or Arnold will send a message. Anyone else without power, internet, etc. These are people with very few problems in their lives.
So in my building WhatsApp group, like quite an old building, we have water issues and this general fuckery around power and stuff.
Oh.
But we have this woman, her name is Faith, and she is just so phenomenal. She is literally like a ward counselor of our building.
Of the building.
She's on everything.
Busybody, huh?
She's busy, but like she has a job. She has a life. But
she sorts out problems.
She's so selfless. She just makes it all happen.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So like power can go out. No one's going to go, hey, it's another power.
That's how old is she?
She's younger than me. I would say she's in
her 30s. Marry her. She sounds like a perfect wife. She solves problems.
She lives the perfectly nice gentleman as well.
Oh, she's got it. I was going to say that that's the kind of woman you should marry.
But people don't complain. She's like, guys, I noticed the power's out.
She's got down on one knee right today.
I've logged the call.
Except as the husband's walking towards her place, get in between them, get on the knee.
I'm happy for
make
both.
Force her to choose.
They're just nice people. Okay. Just happy for both.
All right. I just think that sounds like a solution to a lot of problems. A woman who sorts shit out, decisive, in
high
control.
Agency, interesting.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's wonderful. Faith, good for you. Ben, of course, might have been a disappointment anyway, so just strike my comments about marrying him. But you keep doing the good work, Faith. Mapelo says, get more interesting black guests to attract more black audience like you used to.
Like you used to? When did you make the shift here?
I didn't know that we had a quota on guests on the show. I think Mapelo seems to be confusing us with the government, where we have to get, how many BEE people have you had on the show lately? You know, Mapelo, you've been listening for a long time. This is a very embarrassing comment that you've made here, because then you've completely misunderstood the show. You think, first of all, you assume black people will only watch if there are black people on, which is a terrible... you seem to think that all black people are the same, Mapelo, that they would all be interested in the same thing. And, oh, well, if there's a black guest, I'll watch that show. I'm fairly sure that if you asked people individually what they like, you'd find that they like a bunch of different things. And our only criteria, let me point out, for having people on the show is that they're interesting. I don't really give a shit what race they're from.
Yeah.
So I think Mapelo, maybe this is a good excuse, and it is the last 3-day-a-week show. It could be a good excuse for you to find some other shows. Eistermeis,
wow,
says, what is your take about the general that went to Iran and spoke smack about the USA? Ah, this is such an embarrassment. And then our president said, I didn't know he was there. What a surprise. This guy's always surprised. You
always.
Know, it's amazing if you cannot seek patterns, if you can't figure out that this, then that. If this, then that. Everything in the world is just chaos and constant surprise. This is our president. He lives in a state of constant surprise. So I don't know what to say to you, Eistermeis. Someone paid for this guy to fly to Iran, which is such a bad move at the moment. Like Iran has been emasculated in front of the world. There's no Russia, India, China would have nothing to do with them. And those are our supposed BRICS partners. They were like, we have nothing to see here. What? Iran's on the phone. We're not taking that call. What does South Africa do? We send a general in our army and in our defense force to go and meet with them. For what? They don't have anything. They've been bombed.
To talk about collaborating.
Collaborating about what? Digging up fucked nuclear reactors? What are we going to talk to them about?
This is the part of the story I understand, is that what support will Iran give us if trouble brews?
Pistachio nuts? Carpets?
We're not close.
It's just...
They're not going to send a helicopter over.
It's just unbelievable.
Keep the peace.
It's so stupid. I don't know. Again, I'm going to reiterate what I keep saying to people when they ask me about the ANC, and I don't want to talk about the ANC because it's just boring. It's so pedestrian. I said this too the other day, is that South African politics is just so... There's such a low barrier to entry. You know, if you turn on the news or whatever and you see a commentator, a political commentator, these are very, very low barrier to entry people. And they're saying, oh, well, the internal wranglings of the ANC. This stuff is puerile. Nursery school kids could give you an analysis of South African politics in 15 minutes, and they'd be right. They'd be right 90% of the time. So I don't understand how this stuff, I don't know how it occupies people's minds for as much time as it does. But it does seem to me that given three choices, the ANC government of this country will always choose the worst one.
Somehow.
They will always find a way to make the worst choice. You can have a stack of gold bars, or you can have a pile of cash. And I know there's a bad example because they'd always be for the greed. Or there's a turd. And they'll always choose the turd. It's just phenomenal. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Judas says, yes, I'm a different category of black who enjoys the show and interacts. Well, you see? I mean, already you're just making Mapelo's case worse by the moment. Let's wrap up the show, Gareth. Here is a thought for the weekend. No working during drinking hours, is limited edition. Got some serious drinking planned for the weekend, huh? I hope you survive. All right, that's it. I do agree. Great place to end it. We're already 2 minutes over. This is more than you deserve. We'll be back on Friday next week for a full 3 hours, which is also more than you deserve. But you know what? I'm feeling generous. So
very giving.
I know. I'm a philanthropist. What can I tell you? Oh, have we got a poll? Oh, God. So we had 213 votes. 69. That's a great number. 69% of people are very, very unhappy about the show going to one show a week.
And the rest?
69. No, 31% say they're happy.
Cool.
That's it. Those are the only options we gave you. Of course, this is a democracy, so we're going to listen to you. Yeah, we've listened. What have we decided? Well, we're going to do what we're going to do anyway. So we'll see you on Friday next week. Bye.